Good morning, everybody. I'm so excited that you start each and every Monday with me and with the Lord, and that we can come together and I can hear your cheerful voices and sometimes hear the heaviness of your heart and just be able to just be faithful to do what God's called me to do, and that's to lift you up and to pray for you and to be a source of encouragement. So today, I just love when we move into summer. It's still not 100 degrees in San Antonio, but we're in the beautiful, like, 80-degree weather and lots of butterflies, and we were out working in the yard, and I just thought, you know, my yard looks tired, and I was going to take down a couple of the birdhouses I had and replace them, and I had one that was a boot. It looks like an old Texas boot, and I put it up when we first moved to Texas, and I thought, well, it's time to get rid of that. It sits in the middle of my rose bed. And as I walked over, I saw a mama bird, and she looked like she was going to be feeding some baby birds. And sure enough, there were three little baby titmouses inside of that boot. And it was so awesome to see how God is so faithful to renew and to restore. And that mommy just took the best care of those babies. And we were working over in that flower bed for quite a while, so we'd purposely move away when we'd see she was bringing food to the babies. And it was just so neat. I had my little puppy outside, and that was the first time she'd been outside to run around the backyard. And she was just having a heyday discovering everything. And then she went and she'd buried in underneath some plants to find a nice shady spot and rolled over and laid on her back and took a nice nap in the sun. And I just thought, you know, God's so good with those little pleasures and those little winks that he just says, I love everything so much. I love the birds. I love the sunshine on your puppy. I love the butterflies wafting through the yard. And I love you. And I've got a purpose for you. And you're exactly where I want you to be right now. And for me, that's hard sometimes because I'm very visionary and I'm always thinking about the big picture and moving forward and helping and supporting and helping everybody do their best and be their best for God. And it was nice just to take some time out and just be still and just not even just listen for God, but just to be so observant of everything around me. So it got me thinking about what is my purpose and am I really living my call? And then I thought, you know, I struggled with that for years. And I do believe that I'm living on purpose 100% and inside of my call. But I know a lot of people struggle with that question. So I wanted to bring that forward as our topic today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll start our study. Father God, I just thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, I thank you that your mercies are new every morning, and I thank you for your faithfulness, just like Rebecca, Lord. I just know that you love us. You created earth because you loved us. And Lord, help us to be on purpose and know our purpose and fulfill our call. Father God, I pray that you help us to be faithful. Help me to be faithful now as I bring the word to your people. Speak through my mouth of clay. Lord, I ask that you would help me to decrease so that you can increase, that we would leave this call not the same as we came. We love you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was thinking about the little song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And I used to love that song when I was in Sunday school, and I would sing it over and over again, and sometimes I can remember singing it and then getting older and realizing when I was younger I wasn't even singing the right words. But I know Jesus could see my heart, and I know other people could see my heart, and they loved the light that was beaming from my heart because I wanted to shine for Jesus. And I wonder how many of us do that on a consistent basis. You know, Jesus speaks through the life that we live to other people. So are you hiding it under a bushel? Or are you having it out on a lampstand? Or are you waving it like a torch, just running down the street, letting everybody see it? So if Jesus speaks through us and through the life that we live, and Jesus' life, I mean, we are his hands and feet here on the earth right now, I think a good place to start would be to look at the purpose that Jesus had you know, when I look at Jesus's life, I don't see him messing around a whole lot. I'm sure that he had fun, and it tells us that he relaxed, and you can tell by some of the ways that he responded that there was a little laughter. He wasn't always serious, that he would be lighthearted, and he loved children. So I know that he laughed, and he loved to watch them play. But I think everything he did had a purpose. He lived his life on purpose, and his purpose was to do what? The will of his Father. And so he would focus and seek the Father's will. He would even go away at times, right, to hear the Father's will. And he was perfectly God and perfectly human at the same time. So he could, like, I mean, he was the God deity, but it was so important that he stayed focused and refocused on what God's mission was. And, you know, I believe God's mission statement starts with his heart for all of his people. I think he loves his people so much. So is that what we focus on? And, you know, one of the things that Jesus did is he was submissive and obedient. When the Father said, you need to go to the cross, he made his way to the cross. His purpose was us. His sole purpose was us. People matter so much to God. So if people matter to God, people matter to Jesus. And if people matter to Jesus, shouldn't they matter to us? He laid his life down for us. He tells us in Luke 19:10, and this is the New Living Translation, he says, for the Son of Man, which is Jesus, came to seek and to save those who are lost. Now, many of us, especially with our businesses, we're entrepreneurs and some of us are direct sellers, a lot of us wish that we could just sit on the sofa in our home and then pretty soon a knock would come to the door and someone would say, hey, I hear that you have a business here and I'd really like for you to fix my problem. That doesn't happen very often, I'll be honest with you. I even had a sign in my yard for a while and didn't have many people stop at the door. But that isn't what it says here, is it? He came to seek and to save those who are lost. I'm sure you have someone in your life. Maybe they're making some bad choices, some choices that are walking away from the Lord. Maybe they have addiction. Maybe they've made the wrong life partner choice. Maybe they stay in abusive relationships. Maybe they're just not honest or they stretch the truth. Or maybe they just don't want anything to do with the Lord and they've completely walked away. The Lord tells us that we're to seek them because we're supposed to seek and save the lost. So what's our purpose? Why are you here? Why do you exist? Are you wasting your life? Have you ever wondered? Is this the right relationship? Is this the right job? Is this the right company? Is this the right position for me? I've got really good news for you guys. Our purpose has very little to do with our circumstances. It really doesn't. It doesn't really matter where your job is. It doesn't really matter where you live. Have you ever heard the expression, I like to bloom where I'm planted? My husband moved me over and over. I think we moved 13 times the first 18 years of marriage, I think, or 18 times in the first 13 years of marriage. I don't know. It was something like that. But, I mean, it was just crazy. We were moving all the time. But I just would make every place a home, and I'd bloom where I was planted. I got to know my neighbors. I fixed the yard. I fixed the home. I made it be a sanctuary where people would want to come for a prayer meeting or just to sit and hang out. I wanted our home to be the place where the kids would want to play. I bloomed where I was planted, and I wanted it to be a place where those that were lost would feel comfortable and not judged. That's what my whole life's been around. So it doesn't have to do with where your job is or what your career is or what your title is. Acts 1:8 and the New Living Translation tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, to the ends of the earth. That's what he wants for us. He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And we know that we receive the Holy Spirit when we are saved and we acknowledge Jesus as our Savior. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is another thing. And that can be for another day, another topic. But you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere to the ends of the earth. Have you told everyone about Jesus wherever you are? When we commit our life to Christ, we've committed to live and to act like Jesus. And what that means is that we're going to be saving and seeking the lost, right? Let's see how he tells us to do it. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So whatever you're doing, do all to the glory of God. Does that mean, like, hanging out in places you shouldn't be hanging out? I don't know. Does that mean being destructive to your body? Being cruel to your spouse? Not being purposeful and doing your best in your business? The purpose of your life, the deepest place where you find meaning and satisfaction, transcends any role, any job, or any circumstance you face. Your purpose is not your profession or your role at home. And I know a lot of us think it is, and we get very confused, and we get off track, and we don't fulfill the purpose that God has us on the planet for. Every aspect of our life should be lived out, living on purpose for Christ. We shouldn't compartmentalize it. It should be every single part of our life. We need to live every part of our life beginning with God. Rick Warren wrote a great book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and one of the things that he says in there is that it's important that we start our purpose with God. I mean, after all, that's why we breathe, right? That's why we're here. Why wouldn't we start it with God? Your job's not your calling. Your job can be an expression of it, but it's not. Your career, your company is not your calling. It should be a vehicle for the expression of why you're here. God's given you a specific life. He's given you specific circumstances and skills and talents and gifts and abilities, and he's formed and shaped you and placed you where you are on purpose. Because he's got a little corner of the kingdom that he wants you to build. Did you realize that? So how faithful are you with that? Or are you always trying to get out of it? Are you creating those moments of meaning in your life? You know, look back. A lot of people try to figure out, okay, so what's the purpose? I'm going to give you some practical tips here. So what is it? What were some of those moments of meaning where it was like a significant shift in your life, or you felt like, wow, that felt great. That felt like I was really doing what God wanted me to do. Or you felt so close to the Lord. Or man, you just felt like you were on top of the world. You had all kinds of strength and endurance. Look at those times of transition, and they could even be tragedy that the Lord has taken and worked together for good. Those are key milestones. Watch for those. Look where God has placed you. Where can you be a witness where he's placed you? So some indicators for finding your calling is, number one, something that you enjoy. Something that just jazzes you and energizes you, that you get great pleasure from. That's usually what you're called to do. Number two, you get lost in it. Like, it feels like time has just paused, or that it's effortless concentration. Like, you don't even have to think about it. And then pretty soon, like, a long time has gone by. You won't have to struggle to stay invested in it. That's a key place. You won't have to struggle to stay invested in it. You're going to love to be there. Now, it doesn't mean that it won't be work or it might not be hard work, but it means that you won't have to struggle to try to stay excited and stay invested to fulfill it. Number three, you're willing to work hard for it. You're willing to give your life for it. You love it so much that you'll work hard for it. Number four, you feel satisfied at the end of the day. When you lay your pillow on the head, you know, or lay the pillow on your head, hopefully you're doing it the opposite direction, your head on the pillow. I hope that you can just feel like I've fulfilled what God wanted me to do. I brought life to me, and I brought life to other people. I know today I made a difference. Number five, you'll risk for it. As you take action in it, you're going to find that there's going to be more risk. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that for we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. So know that if God has planned it for you, he's going to take you to the other side, and you've got to be able to trust him and obey. Number six, it'll be aligned with who you are. It should bring you great pleasure because you're wired for it. It goes along with your personality, your behavior styles, your desires. Your purpose and who you are should go hand in hand together. Number seven, you feel grateful for it. You feel like it's a privilege to work and to do the work that's meaningful. To me, I feel that way every day. I do not take one moment of my day for granted. I'm so grateful, and I consider it such a privilege to serve God's people, whether it's coaching, teaching, training, praying, hugging, loving, mentoring, whatever it is, cooking a meal, I mean, cleaning my house, whatever it is, I am so grateful that I have the influence of being able to influence my family. Being able to love like Jesus loves, being able to learn and to grow and add life, to be able to be that light, not under a bushel. It'll also impact someone for the gospel and the kingdom of God. I want you to press in to where your job and your purpose align. And by your job, I mean if it's your business or whatever it is that you're doing. But I want you to press in until you can come into alignment. You know, God wants to use you in the places he places you. I'm going to say that again. God wants to use you in the places he places you. Now, you might find yourself in a hard place. One that you didn't choose, but because of someone else's circumstances or their choices, you're kind of looped into it. I want to encourage you because God is going to use you in the place that he placed you. Now, he doesn't say to stay in abusive places and not to condone sin. Absolutely not. But let's just say that you're working in a job. And all you want to do is get out of it. I can't tell you how many people come to me and they say, pray that I can quit my job. Pray that I can quit my job. I hate my job. It's ungodly. Everybody's complaining. It's so negative. There, you know, people talk about how they carouse on the weekends. I hate it. I just want to be in a godly place and I want to work there. Where are you shining your light? And if you did quit that job, and the Lord provided something else, how would you be faithful to let your light shine? Would you be the person that would be faithful to still reach out? I'll be honest with you, it was really hard when I was working here at home at times because I sit in my office for very, very long days. Many days I sit here for 12, 14, 16 hours straight, and I serve people. But I could sit here and not serve and reach out to other people and minister where I'm planted. There's many days I wish that I could even be in a sinful environment. And I worked in really bad places. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I worked in Detroit, and I worked in some of the largest, most ungodly automotive factories. And I've been around a lot of places, so don't think my life's always been like, oh, yeah, you just don't know because you've been an entrepreneur so long. No, but I was faithful there to share the gospel. I was faithful to wherever God was. And I wasn't Bible thumping, but I was praying, and I would praise God, and it was, they could see it. Jesus lived out in the life that I lived, and then when they did need something, they did come to me. And I was able to minister, and I was able to lead people to the Lord. And I did the same thing when I was doing hair, and when I was in party plan, and any other job I've ever had, working at Hardee's at the toll road. I mean, I've done so many different things. But I'm always faithful. And then God allowed me to be able to be with my family, who I cherish, but I had to be faithful because he didn't want me just ministering to my family. He wanted me to be used in the place that he had placed me. So be sure where your light is, even if it seems like it's in a dark place, that it's shining. Think about it. Where do you put a light? In a dark place. Where are you putting your light? I can tell you some of the most rewarding times in my career have been working with my direct selling colleagues and with entrepreneurs and doing retreats. And usually we end the retreat, the weekend retreat, with giving a testimony and a time for healing and prayer. And I know that that's exactly what God wants me to do. But in the meantime, each and every day I'm faithful to let my light shine. Is it hard work? Oh, yeah. Is it exhausting at times? Yeah. But when I put my head on the pillow and I say my prayers at night, I know that I've touched a life, hopefully many lives, and I know that it's going to take and ripple out, and it's going to build the kingdom from my corner of the world. So as you go out and you take the gospel to seek and save the lost, wherever you're planted, in the places he's placed you, know that you're living your purpose. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much that you give us your wisdom and your insight. Thank you that you've given us your path to call and that you aren't a mysterious God that we don't hear from. You speak to us through your word. Lord, I thank you that we can start each week with your word and that, Lord, we minister across the world through this phone call. Lord, I ask that you would bring more people, Lord, to hear your word and allow me to speak and encourage more, Lord. Encourage our friends. And, Lord, you know those that are lost in my life. Lord, I pray specifically for James and for Bethany, Lord, that you would bring them back to you, that they could see your tenderness and your love. Lord, I pray that you would help John to feel better, Lord, that you would help him to release the anger and the frustration. Lord, I thank you that Jordan is so faithful and so committed. Lord, I praise you that Jean's aunt was able to come through the surgery, Lord, and I pray that she's ministered to as well. Lord, I pray for Jean as she's got the appointment with the Attorney General at 10 a.m. on Thursday, Lord, that you would just send favor out before already. Lord, that you already know the outcome. You know the end from the beginning. So bring her peace so she has no worry. Lord, I also pray that as her mom is able to negotiate the severance package, Lord, we just pray for favor to continue to go out. Just unmerited, amazing God favor so that we can give you all the glory from that. Lord, I just thank you that you've given us a new corner of the world today. You've given us each other. Help us to be faithful with our purpose and with our call. Help us to live on purpose for your purpose. We love you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the amazing things you're going to be doing this week. I thank you for the favor that's touching each life that's here, each life that's listening. We love you. We praise you. We glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you for being on the call with us this morning, and I do want to encourage you, if you know someone that would be encouraged by our time that we spend together, just, you know, this 30 minutes each Monday morning, getting focused, having prayer, knowing that you're being lifted up in prayer all week long, and just hearing from the Word, please invite them. I'd love to have the group grow, and it seems like we have people come for a season and for a time, and I want to just touch as much of the kingdom as we can. You guys are such incredible prayer warriors. I love each one of you, and I love your faithfulness. I just think it's so, so incredible. But I just wanted you to know how much I appreciate it. But I wanted to also let you know that if you'd like to invite people, to definitely do that. And if you've got a topic or something you'd like us to discuss or something that's been on your heart, feel free to message me over on the business page, The Christian Direct Seller. You can also always post your prayer request there. And I'll definitely be watching, and maybe one of the upcoming weeks we'll be able to feature your topic in the study. Thank you, everybody. Make it a great week. God bless you. Bye-bye.